All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray. It's a Usual Suspects Thursday and an unusual suspect filling in as Barry is out with the fever and in Cody Stoops coming out of the bullpen, eating up innings and taking us to the finish line. Cody, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Always happy to be here.
Nick is here as well, as yours truly. If you missed any of the show in the first 2 hours when you weren't tuned in on SportsMap 94.1, head on over to ESPN975.com where you can click on the show link and catch up on the hours that you missed. And of course, as always, while you're on that site, download the app, ESPN975.com. You get any and all of our shows, any and all times of the day. And no matter where you are, you can take us with you and entertain you throughout your day. Needless to say, the last call before we wrapped up hour number two was interesting. Patrick called in, and he wanted to trade James Harden for Jimmy Butler. Need I say that there was a firestorm of responses, both on Twitter and on text message. Not a lot of them good, Pat. I just want to let you know. But some of these responses. OU Mike, who has tried feverishly, and I noticed the term that I used there, boys. It was intentional. Feverishly. OU Mike tries to get his text read today, and the one that I will read is, Barry's fever must be really high, because now he's calling in and calling himself Patrick. So there's that. Someone also called in and said, Butler's not going to give you on a nightly basis what Harden gives you. No brainer. And Eric Gordon is not consistent. That's a problem. It's a good one right there. Harden is garbage, and he always will let us down in the end. People need to consider that. There's a lot of people souring on him because of his playoff record, because of big-time spots and big-time games, which, until he proves otherwise, is something he's going to have to live with.
And those same people probably want to bet on Chris Paul's hamstring.
Here's a guy that probably, I don't have a name with the number, but Patrick, this might be registered to you. It says, you take away everything great Harden does, and he's nothing more than O.J. Mayo. That's saying, if you take away everything great that J.J. Watt does, that he suddenly is said defensive lineman that's average, right? But you're taking away everything that they do great.
What a great argument. What a fantastic argument. Hey, all this stuff that you do great, if you didn't do that stuff great, you wouldn't be great.
You take away all of his points, assists, and rebounds, and there's no doubt he's Bobby Brown. No doubt. But if you give him all those things, here's the pro tip. He's James Harden. And he ain't bad. He ain't bad. Another text message says, I agree with Patrick. Dump Harden. He's a quitter, and I dislike him. Okay. Personal problem.
Quitter, and he dislikes him. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So mixed bag, but a lot of people on Twitter saying, hang up on Patrick. Awful call, Patrick. Was Patrick actually Eric Wong trying to be even less funny? So Patrick, way to stir the pot, brother.
I like Jimmy Butler and would love him on the team, but wouldn't trade James Harden. Just couldn't do it.
Okay, so we saw the tweets and the texts and stuff like that. But if you polled Rockets fans, like if every Rockets fan who says I'm a Rockets fan mysteriously was able to answer in a poll,
you're talking to me anonymously.
Yeah, anonymously.
Yep.
And they answer in a poll, like what's the percent of Rockets fans that feel similar to Patrick?
Here's the thing I will tell you, because I talk to a lot of them and a lot of people seek me out to say certain things. There's a lot of Rockets fans that are starting to sour a little bit on James Harden.
Okay.
So I would say it's not unanimous 100% James Harden. But I say it might surprise you that there might be 25% that have had enough of all of it. But I think that the real, true, intelligent basketball fan realizes unless you can replace him with someone as good or better. And by the way, he was the best player in the game last year when he won the MVP, regardless of what you think of LeBron James and otherwise. Statistically, for 1 year, and if you go back and look three of the last 4 years, he has been one of the top three players in the league. Unless you find a guy that can do exactly that when you to replace him with, you gotta roll with what you got.
If you want to play, you know, if you want to play NBA 2K19 with us and say, oh, okay, well, I want to trade James Harden for, and then you list off one of the three or four best players in basketball, I'm like, okay, let's have the discussion. But Jimmy Butler, look, I'm not trying to downtalk Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's a really nice basketball
player.
He doesn't live on the same street that James Harden lives on. He doesn't even live in the same neighborhood, to be honest with you. He's in the zip code, but the same neighborhood, he's not there.
I'm not afraid, as you guys know, and Nick can attest, to be extremely honest and critical of James Harden when it warrants it. But at the same time, when you look at this team and how quickly people forget what it was like before you had James Harden, Dwight Howard, whether you wanted him or not, wouldn't even consider Houston in free agency. But all of a sudden you get James Harden, it was his preferred destination. And as Daryl Morey went back and said, you can't have 2 and 3 superstars until you get one. And you got him. And the other thing that you think about when we talk about replacing him with a guy of equal or greater value, which never happens when you trade a superstar. But think about if this team had Russell Westbrook instead of James Harden. Oh. He doesn't want to pass. He only passes to get to 10. And then he's done passing. And he shoots way too much for a guy that can't be a consistent jump shooter or scorer in this league. This team is exponentially worse if you replace James Harden with Russell Westbrook in so many ways, in my opinion.
From what they asked James Harden to do, there's really not that many guys that you could say, okay, switch out Harden for this guy and you get the same thing done. And I, like, regardless of what you like or dislike about James Harden, he was part of the locomotive that took the Warriors, like, to the edge, man.
You're one hamstring from going to, if not winning, the finals. Period.
Like, he is part of the locomotive where you were one game away from going to the finals and then, in my opinion, probably winning the finals.
I agree.
And I get that there's disappointment with his past, and you may not appreciate what he does on the court, and you may not
his clutchness is going to come up a lot.
And his
off-the-court antics.
Clutch is one of the, to me, most overrated things that we put on to players.
I'm not going to go that far.
But you have to have
a certain portion of your game that features some clutchness.
No, understand what I'm saying. Like, the amount of times where people just immediately just write off someone as he's not clutch and they're actually right is so terribly low. Is so terribly low that it's disgusting in conversation. I'm not saying clutch isn't important. It absolutely is. Can you rely on this guy to make the big shot when you need him or make the big play, so on, so make the right play, the smart play, stuff like that. I get that. But the amount of times somebody's going to point to someone and say, nah, that guy's not clutch, okay? Or just ignore that some of his talents keep you from ever being in a situation where he has to be clutch. Like, the amount of times that people are going to ignore that about guys, and that's pretty much every NBA superstar, gets that, I mean, from LeBron to Harden and everybody in between, he's not clutch. Okay, well, how many times was he so damn good that you didn't have a clutch situation? Like,
how many times is he over 30, over 40, or even over 50 points so that you don't need to worry about clutch situations?
Exactly.
I mean, that's good. Am I off base in saying this? But there's only two guys right now playing basketball that you entertain replacing James Harden with, and it's all hypothetical, obviously, because I don't think that they would nor should they trade James Harden. But there's only two guys where the discussion begins and ends, and that's LeBron James and Kevin Durant. And if it's not one of those two guys, and based on where they are in their careers, I'm not trading for LeBron James.
No, I'm with you. You can't give up on James Harden. For the people that, when we're talking about percentages and the 25% that actually might be okay with trading away James Harden, you got to ask yourself the question. That 25% may be people who are would rather have a losing Rockets team than a very successful postseason. If they're not okay with a postseason where they don't get to the finals and win it, if you're that fan, then yeah, you may be okay with that Harden trade. But when you look back at the past, 10, 15, 20 years, they haven't really been in the discussion. And now you finally have a situation where James Harden is on your squad, and they were the number one team record wise last year. Do you want to get rid of that? Are you okay with just Western Conference Finals and Finals appearances, or do you really want to win it, and that's why you're okay with James Harden being traded away for Jimmy?
You're right. Here's the microcosm. This is a microcosm of what we were talking about earlier, with how do you fix the Rockets. You don't have a full-blown dam ready to break where you got no hope of plugging it up in time to save the leak from turning into an all-out, all-hell-breaks-loose, right? So that's what you're talking about, Nick. The fact of the matter is you don't replace James Harden if you think there are chinks in his armor. You go get Chris Paul. Because now everything that James Harden isn't, Chris Paul is. He's a vocal leader. He's a coach on the floor. He's a guy that takes pressure off the defense, off of you when it comes to the defense, and heat off of you when you're not having one of those games. But you don't get rid of your best player. You add another player to the mix that can help you get better. That's why I said a week ago, I'm okay with, and I encourage them to kick the tires on trying to get Jimmy Butler. Don't give him P.J. Tucker, because it's the one thing that you can't fix with just one guy. That's the defensive side of the ball. But if you can add another guy that's a well-rounded player that can help Chris Paul and James Harden to get over the hump, and it only costs you Eric Gordon and one or two other pieces, you do it. That's where I'm at with it. So if you want to be like Drew, you can call and get in on the Rockets discussion, 713-780-3776.
You know what? It's all Carmelo Anthony's fault. If they were better right now, we wouldn't be having this discussion. Thanks, Carmelo. Thanks.
See, now you're going to go back to the other callers and give the credence to the fact that we're blaming Carmelo for everything, which we're not. Listen with your ears, not your ass. We'll figure this whole thing out as we go. Drew, we'll get to you next, and we'll continue to roll on. We've got Rockets to get to, Texans we already talked about, and lots of other things. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time, and Mac just keeps on making deals that keep on giving back to you. Right now, if you're a political person, and you are closely watching and monitoring the race between Beto and Ted Cruz, Beto O'Rourke. He's even letting you buy some furniture and then take a shot at who you're picking in that election. And based on who you pick, if they win, you get the benefit of 50% of your price back, or you can use it on merchandise. He did the Astros promotion. Now he's doubling down and tripling down on the deal that he already doubled down on. If you buy $3,000 or more with the bedroom furniture, including Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, and all the great brand names that he has in the bedroom. At the end of the year, next year, the Astros win it all. Or at the end of this year, the Rockets win it all. You get it all for free. He continues to double down to give you more incentive after you buy solid wood, quality American-made furniture from a great place, like Gallery Furniture. Three locations to better serve you. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Gallery area, and I-45 North. Exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which one of the three locations you choose, you always get the same deals that he offers up on his commercials. That means you buy today, you get it tonight. Within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time, they're at your door. They're delivering your furniture. There's no back order slips. If you see it on the showroom floor, you're going to get it at your house that same day or night. That's the way they do business. And of course, what Mac says is always the truth, and he will always make sure that's way it's that way as long as he's in business. Gallery really will save you money.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. Barry's out with a fever. Cody Stutes in, and we appreciate him. We talk Texans, we talk fantasy football with Sigmund Bloom, and now we are knee-deep in Rockets. Rockets lost again last night. They're 1-3. Harden now has a tweaked hamstring, is doubtful for tomorrow night. Paul will be back, but the issues, problems, and discussionary topics abound.
I have a question about last night's game.
Okay, before we get to that, let me just clear this up.
Okay.
I'm going to give a tip of the cap. I appreciate you people texting in, and I will say that I may have forgotten a couple of names when I said the only people you entertain a trade for James Harden are LeBron James and Kevin Durant. I will give you Anthony Davis. I will give you Kawhi Leonard. Someone said Steph Curry. I'm not so sure. I might give you the Greek Freak based on what he did last night. When you look at his numbers last night, and they're undefeated, but you look at a guy that gave you 36, 18, and 10, I think it was. That's all world.
The argument, though, for the three guys you brought up would all be about the window being longer. Because any of those guys, plop them in to Harden's spot on the roster, the team's not as good.
Where are you on the Curry thing? Because I'm not feeling it.
I think Steph Curry is really good, and I think Steph Curry on that Warriors team is great to sometimes transcendent. So I think he's really good. I think he could do a lot of that on a lot of teams. But I think the way that team is built, the players he plays with, the situation, the style, the coach, everything that goes into it makes him great night in and night out.
You saw the playoffs last year. A lot, obviously, well-warranted, people bang on James Harden for his defense. Steph Curry was exposed.
Oh, yeah.
All you got to do is try and run a switch high pick and roll on Steph Curry or just get him one-on-one. James Harden abused him. So,
and you don't know how Curry would actually react to a team where there's some ISO and ball stoppers. He's used to a team that moves the ball a lot. And I don't know if his game necessarily relies or depends on it, but it'll be interesting to see how he reacts to a situation like that. And I don't know if he'll be as successful. I think he'll be good, and I think he'll, like Cody says, he'll probably be able to do that on a lot of teams. But I don't know. The nature of the Rockets' offense may not fit well for Curry. And honestly, I don't know if I'd give up Harden for Curry. But some of those other names that you mentioned, like a Kawhi or maybe an Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis is 25 years old. Like, Harden's 29. Like,
look, if you're talking about MVP this year early on, the leading candidates, people are spot on. Anthony Davis leading the charge and Adetokounmpo right there with him. Kawhi Leonard quietly is right there with him.
Yeah. A lot of those guys are not. The only one that's actually realistic is the one that, realistic from a standpoint of not the Rockets doing it, but another team doing it is Jimmy Butler. Because if you're the one that has Jimmy Butler on your roster and someone offers you James Harden, you're trading. You're making that trade.
Yeah. Someone said, would Minnesota take Carmelo Anthony, Marquise Chris?
No.
And Eric Gordon?
No.
No. They would not. They would either hit the delete on the text or the disconnect on the phone.
Hold on. You think if they take that, you think Jimmy Butler would still be a Timberwolf?
Man, I'm telling you what. Yeah, because Daryl likes to fleece other teams.
So I have a question about last night's game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Go ahead. Shouldn't the Rockets have lost that? Shouldn't we have expected them to lose that game?
I did.
Yeah, no Paul. Nick was telling me before the show, he was looking at some of the Donovan Mitchell stuff leading up to this game, and he's like, Donovan Mitchell hadn't really gone off yet.
He was struggling with his shot. He said he was his biggest critic, and it was killing him because mentally he started to believe he wasn't going to make shots.
Yeah, well, you look at some of these games here, and it's like, okay, a week ago we were talking about they lost to the Pelicans. That's a bad team, bad matchup. By the way, the Pelicans haven't lost a basketball game yet. And
I warned you guys they were good.
And so, yeah.
You did say that.
You look at last night, Chris Paul's out, and then Harden's hammy falls apart in the last part of the game. Yeah, they should have lost that game. But I think, again, same thing we talked about a week ago is the same thing we're talking about now. To see all the things that people were actually worried about with this team, to see them pop up so often, so early, is where you get uneasy. And I know Nick's saying, hey, give it time, 10, 15 games. To see it pop up as often as it does and this early in the season, from the jump it happened. That's where you got that uneasy feeling about this team, like, ooh, what about this Rockets team now? I'm not really sure. Like, are they costing themselves with this early season lull? Again, four games, but are they costing themselves one spot in the playoff rankings?
I was going to say, the one thing that caught my eye, exactly to your point last night, was last year they caught a break because Golden State got the injury bug that they hadn't gotten previously, and they rolled to the number one seed. They built it such a big lead on Golden State for that one seed that it was insurmountable. This year, the only I understand, and I'm fully with you and on board with the fact it's early, but Golden State ain't hurt. And guess what? The guy that is hurt is coming back. And when they add a Boogie Cousins to a loaded team, unless they get hurt, you're not going to have the number one seed. And so to your point, Cody, how far do they fall? And does this slow start cost them at the end of the year? Because of the fact that you not only can't catch Golden State, but this year against a team that you mentioned like Utah, against a team that's got some talent in the Western Conference, that suddenly you have to go to their gym for a game seven, that you have to play with them having home court, that could be a big issue.
Like, if we're smushing the Western Conference and bringing the top teams down to the rest of the pack and bringing some of these bottom teams up just a little bit. Like, if we're smushing the Western Conference, one game, two game, three games is going to be the difference maybe between second or third in the Western Conference and sixth, seventh, maybe eighth. You know, I don't know what the final standings are going to look like, but I have a hard time believing that there's not going to be some teams that are separated between, you know, say 3 and 6 with a game or two here. And you look at some of these games, it's like that game last night, I know Harden gets hurt, but that game last night seemed like they were on track to putting that in a winnable game. When Harden got hurt, it was winnable.
I don't know, Nick, you were there.
Yeah, I mean,
the
they closed
feeling.
It down. When he got hurt, they were down by, what, 7? So
they got it to single digits, but I never felt like they were in control of that game last
night. No, they weren't. They really weren't. And who knows how James Harden would have, you know, performed in the fourth quarter. He's done a little bit better about it. We talked about clutch a little bit earlier. Sometimes I feel like they use that word incorrectly, but I don't know how he would have panned out, you know, in the fourth quarter. I don't think they had control of the game, but to me, it what scared me when I saw it, I was looking at it, they cut it down to single digits, and James Harden walked to the locker room.
Yep.
He didn't try. So that told me that the hamstring is probably a little bit worse than we all know about right now. But that was my first red flag when I saw him walk off, was, all right, man, they cut the lead down to single digits, and he's not going to finish this game, so that hamstring must be hurt, so...
Here's another point, because someone said the Greek Freak's a great player. He wouldn't fit into a D'Antoni Morey system. That's a very fair point. You're absolutely right, because the Greek Freak still is working towards developing a jump shot. But on the Daryl Morey side of things, everybody also has the in Morey we trust mentality that he's going to save the day. And we talked about the fact that earlier, the only reason why they get a Dwight Howard, or they're now a player in so many different names that are coming up in trades and free agency, is the fact that You've got a superstar now, and Houston's become a destination because of the fact that you have two. So that's why people want to play with the winner. They want to play there. But people forget, and I like to remind people, for all that and people that want to prop up Daryl Morey, none of this is possible. You never get James Harden, and you never have any of these other discussions, and this team's probably not nearly as good. If David Stern doesn't veto the Chris Paul to the Lakers trade when they had control over a franchise that was for sale with the New Orleans franchise.
Oh, you saw him dishing about
that's
that.
That's where I'm going with
Ooh,
this.
Ooh, this is juicy.
Because David Stern, who hasn't said much since he left the league, decided juicy. To chime in for all the criticism that he has taken since in the fact that he vetoed a trade that would have sent Chris Paul to the Lakers, Pau Gasol to the Rockets, Goran Dragic, Lamar Odom, Luis Scola, and Kevin Martin to the, at the time, New Orleans Hornets, which probably would have made them a much better team. He had some pretty critical words about a general manager that was there in New Orleans then. I know, by the way, is still there now, including a name that I don't think a lot of GMs would like to be called. We'll be back to get you that story and more. It's the Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 1/2 hour to go on the big show, and we appreciate you being a part of it. SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5, and while we're giving out appreciative thanks to Cody Stutes, short notice in a pinch, taking in reps for Barry Laminack, who's out with a fever today. Tomorrow we're at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, so if you want to join us in the Blitz, 1 to 7 p.m., come on down to Calder Road in B-Town. Check us out, as we will be there for you. We were talking Rockets before the break, and I mentioned this. This is an interesting story. I think you guys all are very aware of the fact that back in the day, Daryl Morey tried to make a trade that involved Chris Paul going to the Lakers, Pau Gasol, the centerpiece, going to the Rockets. Sorry?
You said Daryl Morey was?
Daryl Morey made this trade.
Oh, he did make
this trade. This trade, and David Stern poo-pooed and vetoed it at the last minute. But this was what was going to happen. Chris Paul was going to go to the Lakers. He was going to play with Kobe. Pau Gasol was going to be the centerpiece to build around for years to come, because he was going to be that guy. or not. And the Hornets at the time, now the Pelicans, would have ended up with a Knicks number one draft pick, as well as Lamar Odom, Goran Dragic, Kevin Martin, Luis Scola, and others. The New Orleans franchise was for sale at the time, so deciding control of the franchise was done by the commissioner of the game, and David Stern vetoed it. Well, he recently was speaking in depth with Sports Illustrated, and for the first time, he spoke on the situations of that trade. He said, and I quote, "There was a trade that Dell Demps wanted us to approve, and I said, heck no." He had told Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets, Mitch Kupchak, the GM of the Lakers, he had authority to make the trade, and he was going to make it, and he didn't. Stern said, "I said no. We just settled a lockout, and you want me to approve a basketball trade?" Dell Demps, the GM of the New Orleans franchise then, and still, by the way, the GM of the franchise now, agreed to the trade, sending Paul to the Lakers, Kevin Martin, Scola, and other players to New Orleans. And I said, we can do better than that. And the next trade came in was involving the Clippers and Chris Paul, and involved a younger Eric Gordon, Al-Farouq Aminu, and what we thought was a really great draft pick, the 10th pick overall, which actually turned out to be Austin Rivers, but only because Dell Demps took him. At least those three, someone else, which turned out to be Chris Kaman. But here's the quote that's going to sting. Stern said, "Dell Demps is a lousy general manager, and none of those players are currently with the team anymore, and now they may lose Anthony Davis." Ouch. To which New Orleans had to have a rebuttal lined up that said, "We are very disappointed to read the inappropriate and inaccurate comments from the former commissioner of the NBA regarding the New Orleans Pelicans. Our organization has the utmost confidence in our general manager, Dell Demps. He's a part of our family and the NBA family. We're excited about the direction of our team. We're undefeated to start the season, building on the success of a good run in last year's playoffs. And finally, our organization is excited and proud to be a part of an NBA with a progressive and innovative leadership group in which that features NBA Commissioner Adam Silver." So take this kick to the grapes on the way out. But not nice if you're David Stern to take a shot. I can understand if it was a guy that was no longer a GM and you were like, well, he got what he deserved because he really wasn't doing a very good job. He's still currently the general manager of an NBA team. And you say that he is a lousy GM? Ouch.
I love when old dudes who move on from their job to another line of work just don't give a flip and say whatever they want. Because I was reading about this story that Stern...
I think he finished by saying, "Get off my lawn."
He might have.
Man.
So Stern does this story with Sports Illustrated. The guy that wrote the story had been bugging Stern for close to a year to write it. And Stern was like, "I don't know why people would want to hear from me. Like, I don't understand why you want to come talk to me, want to come hang out with me." And then this comes out, and David Stern just like, "Oh, okay. Yeah, Dell Demps. Yeah, he was a joke. Boom. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I said no. I should have explained myself better." Like, what? Like, I love when old people don't care anymore. That's great.
I will say this, though. On the Daryl Morey front, and I said it before the break. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Daryl Morey gets a lot of credit. And in a lot of ways, he deserves what he's done and the way he's been able to add and tinker with a roster. But Daryl, not enough attention is paid to the fact that if this trade goes through, you are in player purgatory for a long time. You never sniff James Harden. And because of it, you never sniff Chris Paul and all the complimentary players that he has brought throughout the years, because you would have been cap strung, you'd have been terrible, and unless you kept your own draft picks to try and build through the draft, you never would have had the success that you've had throughout the last several years.
Is there a really good chance that if the Pau Gasol deal goes through as it was, mm-hmm. what Daryl Morey wanted to do goes through, there's a good chance Daryl Morey is not the current day general manager of the Houston Rockets, right?
I would agree with that.
I mean, there's a chance he's either on his second general manager job or he's at least, very least, in a different organization.
I would agree with that. You might argue that David Stern would have those comments about a different general manager had that trade gone through, and then we were discussing it several years later.
And it's a really tough string to pull at, because so many things have played out since 2011. with the free agency and the money and all the weird different things. And like, would Oklahoma City have still kept James Harden? Would they have traded him to somewhere else? You know, like there's so many different things that play out after that. So it's really hard to do the ripple effect. But I truly believe that was one of the biggest bailouts that we've seen in the NBA ever. I mean, the league bailed Daryl Morey out, because not to say Pau Gasol wasn't a good player for a couple of more years, but he certainly never would have sniffed the level of success that James Harden has had in the NBA since he became a member of the Houston Rockets. And, you know, now to Morey's credit, he's made some really good moves outside of that one, but some of his almost hits, it's a bad list, and like thank goodness they didn't hit.
No question about it. That's what I'm saying. If you got to give you need, just like a political campaign, you got to give equal time to the other side. And if you give equal time to the other side, when you give Morey as much credit as he's gotten with certain moves, you'll realize it's a lot more kind of even level playing field with arguments on both sides than people want to realize right off the top.
Everybody gets a little bit of luck in their job. Daryl Morey's ended up with a lot of luck in his gig, though.
No doubt about it.
Think if the Bosch Parsons thing goes down. Bosch isn't playing anymore because his ticker's messed up, and Parsons barely plays because his knee's messed up.
Yeah, I mean, you look at just the Bosch situation alone, whether it was a trade or signing for a free agency or however you were going to obtain him, and the fact that he turned you down, that turned out hugely in the Rockets' favor, because that's another one where you would have been in a really, really tough situation fighting with the league to try and get a special exemption for a medical.
Where do you think the Melo deal is going to fall?
I know it was that pursuit that he couldn't stop with hashtag pursuit, but I don't know if it's going to end up in them running it back. Let me put it that way. We'll be back with more. One segment left to go in the big show. It's Cody Stutz in for Barry. It's the usual suspect. It's ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, no Barry today. Hopefully he'll be here tomorrow when we head on to Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. And hopefully you'll stop in and see us if you're in the Golden Triangle area. We'll be there from 1 to 4. Blitz will be there from 4 to 7. We'd love to see you. Always a great crowd when we head down to B-Town. Nick behind the glass, as we've had a blast with Cody Stutz today again, as he's becoming our regular bullpen go-to guy, filling in, eating innings, closing deals. We appreciate it.
Not just on the mic, but on the video camera, dancing as well.
You were dancing in a very unusual way.
You know, I don't think I
to this song, which
I don't think I committed to it enough. I think I was just kind of half.
He was a little offbeat. He was a little quick.
Well, that's not surprising.
For the beat.
But whatever he was doing,
it was not good.
Was traumatic. It didn't seem like it was therapeutic. Like he was just letting himself go. And
I'm sorry, you guys had to see
expressive.
That.
Expressive. Well, it wasn't just us, evidently, because with the video stream, there were a lot of people that saw you deep into yourself.
Zillions of viewers.
Interpretive dance.
You evidently don't know how many people on a minute-by-minute basis are tuned in on the video stream.
You know? Who does?
It's a good point. It's a very good point. Without Barry, I don't think we ever would, except for the fact that executive producer Steven Spielberg Sciarra does like to make sure that his camera angles are correct and accurate, framed up and lit correctly.
I, like all the other producers, do not put the camera.
You won't show yourself because you like to stay behind the
camera. Like all
the
other producers on the station,
but you are very focused on framing and getting the proper angles for the cameras that are on others.
Well, for you, aren't you, Joel and Barry? They're the stars.
But then you send Trey in every now and then to help you out with that, and that is just complete disaster waiting to happen.
When Trey's in studio, like if he's in the control booth, every once in a while I'll flip the camera angle on him because I think everybody enjoys Juggalo Trey's video feed, right?
No. They do enjoy his interaction on the show, which, by the way, we have to mention.
Some people might enjoy Trey's video too much.
Really? Okay. I don't know. We had to move our production meeting today out of the bullpen, out of the open area, and into a studio.
Oh, this is great.
And I had said, look, our interns are great, but some of the conversations that they have out there are just mind-numbing, where they get opinions that you're just like, did that someone really just say that? But then there are, the ones we got today were almost all sports-related, and then along comes Trey.
It's way more fun listening to him talk than the video feed, I would agree.
Yes, but then can we all agree, too, that our interns are normally throwing out hypotheticals and situations about sports?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did my video for Sports Map today, which will probably be out later tonight or tomorrow morning, and Trey was in there helping us out. And then when done, I went into the meeting with you guys, and he sauntered out to talk to the rest of the interns. What we all heard next, there was no way in hell we could have expected. Because he said to the interns out there, guys, do you ever get to that situation where there's a thing that you got to do, that you're supposed to do, that you don't want to do, that you're trying to not do, that at some point you just say to yourself, should I kill myself or should I do what I don't want to do?
And he blames everything on a lack of sleep.
Oh, my God. I turn around. I go, Trey, are you serious right now? And he's like, you have to think about it. I'm like, I thought about it for 2 seconds. And I'm thinking about, why did that come out of your mouth? Like, what are you doing? Well, I haven't been getting a lot of sleep lately, and there's a lot of things on my mind. Obviously, there's a lot on your mind that we had no idea about. Like, there is a hamster on a treadmill in your brain that is going in a million different directions. Like, this follows up a conversation a week ago when he straight-faced, and I had to ask him 3 times, are you kidding? He said, do you guys ever just sit there and sometimes just out of the blue, there's a voice in your head and you wonder if it's a voice like behind you, next to you, or in you? I'm like, and I'm looking at him like he's going to start chuckling at any time. I'm like, Trey, you're dead serious, aren't you? And he goes, yeah. And it's not like they say anything. It's just like they go, ah! But they're there. I'm going, you probably should see somebody about that.
Juggalo Trey.
He is one of a kind. And sometimes I say thankfully. But that was a legitimate conversation today. Like, I don't know anything that I can think of that pops up and says, you know what? There's something I got to do that I don't want to do. But I really could contemplate, like, hurting myself instead of doing it. Or how do you think of something else? Like, I don't want to get up off the couch during the middle of the World Series to go take the trash cans to the curb. But there's nothing that I'm going to do to harm myself so that I don't have to do those things.
Intern Trey, he's pretty consistent with his behavior, too. He acts like that pretty much every single day.
I got to give you credit, too, because for whatever you did to scare the living crap out of him,
I didn't scare
at one point in his early existence and interactions with you. All I hear, I'm coming out of the video room today, and thanks, Nick. You're the best. I just love that. You're the greatest. And I'm like, he's so damn scared of you that no matter what kind of reaction you give him, he's going to support it.
No, he comes in on Mondays, and I think he just doesn't want to lose that. He wants to come in and
oh, no, he's told me on several occasions. He's like, yeah, that Nick, when he gets upset, no one wants to get in his wake, and I'm not going to be the guy. That's just who he is.
The best part is I totally believe that he said wake, full well not realizing that wake is behind something and not in front of him.
No doubt about it. No question about it. Because I've said over and over again, he can come across with one comment as like one of the smarter guys in the room. And within 5 minutes, he can completely kibosh any thoughts that he might be one of the smarter people in the room.
Well, he did that with Owen Daniels, too. Like, remember when Owen Daniels walked in?
Yes.
And he was so pumped to meet him. And then he mentioned a team that he didn't play for?
Yes.
That was fun.
But said, like, and there's been times, like, I mean, he said Pete Rose was in here. He said things to Pete Rose, and Pete Rose was like, what do you call him, Carrot Top?
Carrot or Carrot Cake. Oh, no, that was Carrot Cake. Granado called him Carrot Cake.
Well, I think he called him Carrot Cake.
It might have been Pete Rose.
He just shortened it, and he was just like, I can't even think, like, rational, what you just said to me. And he was talking about the Marlins. And to Owen Daniels, if you're Owen Daniels and you walk in this studio ever again, I'd be in complete amazement because I would have been so freaked out by the way Trey talked to Owen Daniels.
I just been the biggest fan of yours forever. I've been waiting for this opportunity, and it was been great, and I loved it when you played for the Colts.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. And Owen like, Daniels could not have been cooler, but it was the funniest thing ever.
I never played for the Colts. I'm at the Ravens. My bad. I meant the Ravens and the Broncos and the Texans, but you're still like one of my all-time favorites. Like, I have your jersey hanging up in the lobby. That's not your jersey, Trey. But it's still there. Like, seriously. Seriously. And on that note, have we ever thought about the fact that we've upgraded the Gal Media Studios and we've made all these great remodeling, modernizations? Can we not take Mac Brown's Texas jersey and Owen Daniels' Texans jersey out of the lobby and put the Deshaun Watson jersey that's being hidden back in the Sports Map, Culture Map area out front where it belongs? That might be one last little tweak to make the Gal Media Studios as hip and current as they've ever been.
We do need an upgrade on some of the jerseys that we got hanging around, but we've got a couple.
Have you ever gone to a sports bar and they have jerseys hanging up just because it's a jersey?
Huh?
That's just like
such a bad look.
Yeah. Or and what's worse than that is no frame, no glass.
Yeah, such a bad
like
look.
Just like either hanging on a hanger or some thumbtacks on one of the softer walls in the bar. And
I hate that.
Really?
If you go to a place like that, you know they have dollar beer night.
Absolutely.
You know they have dollar beer night.
Yeah, and your steak night, you don't know if it's steak or not, but you know it's damn well going to be cheap.
You know it's $8.99, you get two choices of sides.
That's right. And those baked potatoes will be hot no matter what. No matter what else kind of meat you're eating, it's going to be, and the beers are going to be cold and cheap.
Oh, I love a good bar that hangs up a jersey for no reason.
I'm trying to think, like, because literally our lobby might be in the running, but what are the worst jerseys that you can find hanging at a sports bar that are like completely outdated?
That's like an Instagram account waiting to happen.
Absolutely.
Like misplaced
like
jerseys.
Suspects. If you're out there and about drinking on your weekend this week, that's something we gotta do for the usual suspects. Start tweeting us pictures of outdated and maybe never should have been dated jerseys hanging in the sports bar of your choice. Nick, you frequent some too. And out in the Sugarland area, I'm sure that they don't have the same kind of personnel on the walls.
They're not like
they would.
They're not like that in Sugarland or Most City, I don't feel like.
Most City? Come on now.
Like an Antoine Peak jersey from like the first Texans teams.
Most City's got a Corey Bradford Texans jersey somewhere. I'm just telling you. Not the Packer Corey Bradford jersey, where at least he was somewhat relevant. Somewhere in Most City, there's a Corey Bradford Texans jersey waiting to be taken, a picture being taken.
Right next to the Tuesday steak night sign.
That's right.
Man, I've been to some bad places. Man, that'd be bad if I ever saw that, though. But, I mean, look, Missouri City, I guess part of it can be nice, and then the other part can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just like Trey, there's two sides to every equation. There's the good side.
He
and the
tweeted at you. Fake news.
What's fake news?
Everything you said about him is fake news.
I have witnesses. You guys even heard the conversation today. So we know what happened. You can't, Trey, it's proven in a court of law when you have witnesses. You don't have anything on the other side. We do. We have the number one sports show in Houston coming up next. It's the Blitz. They're going to be live at Bombshells on 290. And you know how traffic goes on 290. You don't want to be stuck in traffic. So just stop off at Bombshells and kick it with Fred and AJ for a while. Jong's here holding down the fort at the studio. And then after happy hour and all the Bombshells are dropped, you can get in the car and head on home with less traffic and more of a satisfied feeling. For Nick, and a very special thanks to Cody Stutes for filling in for Barry. I'm Joel. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Remember, Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, the Blitz and the Usual Suspects. Have a great night, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.